Hello. Cause he's back in the saddle again.
I'm back.
Oh man.
What you making?
I'm making jalapeno chicken sausage.
Oh.
And chicken sausage patties. And those just came out of the oven. And now in the oven is asparagus, mushroom, yellow bell pepper, and with Parmesan cheese egg cups.
Wow. You're a fancy boy today.
That's right. Back in the kitchen.
Mm. I had some leftover, I think, meatloaf.
Mystery loaf?
Maybe. I got home and my wife and Reagan had gone to the Cheesecake Factory.
Of course. God, they love that Cheesecake Factory.
They do.
Holy cat.
They do. So, and she left me leftovers on the counter. And I opened it up.
How is their meatloaf?
I mean, I think it's meatloaf. I can't tell.
Is it grilled? Is it just like a piece of gray meat?
No. I mean, it looked good.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell if it was meatloaf or like some kind of shepherd's pie kind of thing.
Well, was there mashed potatoes on it?
There was a layer of, I think, mashed potatoes. But I couldn't tell because it had some kind of like gravy on top.
Well, that could be shepherd's pie or it could be meatloaf. Because I had barbecued meatloaf today.
Oh, that sounds good.
I had barbecue sauce on it instead of gravy, but I would expect a brown gravy on both.
Well, and it had carrots.
Yeah.
And peas.
Yeah, this is sounding like a shepherd's pie. Was it in a meatloaf form or was it in like a ground beef form?
No, it was in a meatloaf form.
Are you saying Cheesecake Factory is effing this up? Because you don't put meatloaf. What? Why would you put a meatloaf in shepherd's pie? But it sounds like you got shepherd's pie.
I mean, I think that's what it was.
What did the like meat blend? How was it? Did it taste good, or was it just like strictly ground beef with like eggs and breadcrumbs thrown in it?
No. Because I mean, it had like mushrooms and like bell peppers.
Okay, was it more fatty? You know how some meatloafs will have like lamb or some like fatty meat put in there?
Well, I would definitely know if it was lamb. It was definitely beef.
Oh.
Yeah, it was definitely beef. It was good.
Did they fancy up a meatloaf?
I mean,
I guess. This is what it sounds like. Yeah.
I have been to the Cheesecake Factory like once, and that was a long time ago, so I don't remember.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think they must have gone to the one at the mall. They just put one in the mall, I think.
They had to test it out. They had to quality test it out.
Yeah. Well, my wife had to go return some shoes, and then she had to go to some other place to pick up some shoes she had ordered. Mm-hmm. So I know they were at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. It was good. It was good. Huh. Whatever it was good.
I don't know. I'm waving a flag on that one.
You think so? I don't know, man.
That sounds like they're using their meatloaf. Recipe. I wonder if you can get shepherd's pie or you can get meatloaf, and they're just using the base as both.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
But I don't like that.
I mean, it's not like they have
meatloaf a lot different.
It's not like they have Michelin star chefs at the Cheesecake Factory. You know what I mean?
That's true.
This episode obviously not sponsored by the Cheesecake Factory.
Shame on them.
That's why I'm talking shit.
Shame on them.
If you want a good review, then you need to send us all your money.
Oh, my God. First, if you want a good review, do something about your website. Oh, my God. I'm available. Hire me. What the hell is going on with this? Oh, it's terrible. The navigation alone is god-awful.
Let's look at this thing.
Oh, this is terrible. Okay.
Oh, this is like straight out of 1999.
Yeah.
Mm. I bet this is made with like WordPress. Let's look it up. View page source.
Okay. Let me describe this to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ground beef. Did it have this is all the stuff I need to know.
Yes.
That's in it.
Yes.
Ground beef.
Yes.
Carrots.
Yes.
Peas.
Yes.
Zucchini.
I don't remember tasting zucchini.
Possibly, but also if they cut up zucchini small enough, it just melts away.
Right.
Onions?
Possibly.
Mushroom gravy?
Yes.
And then potato parmesan cheese crust.
I don't know about a crust.
I'm thinking that's what you had.
Hmm.
But then they also had... Oh, you son of a... Ooh, Cheesecake Factory, we got to talk. Mr. Cheesecake Factory, hit me up. I'll help you with this. Or did you have the famous factory meatloaf? Dude, they're using the same damn thing. Served with, and I can see your daughter not getting this last thing that I mentioned. Served with mashed potatoes, mushroom gravy, grilled onions. This is the part that your daughter would probably say, no, I don't want that. Corn succotash.
You know, I'm starting to think, Nick, that the Cheesecake Factory is the Taco Bell of bougie restaurants. Wait, it's not really like, bougie.
It's very expensive compared to other restaurants that are at that price range.
Yeah, I guess so.
What you get. I mean, granted, hey, their cheesecake, yeah, all right, we can't touch the cheesecake. I don't want to mess around with your desserts. But this is like going to an Italian restaurant and they have a meatloaf and then it's covered in gravy or whatever, red sauce, whatever this Italian place is doing. But then all of a sudden you cut into it and it looks a little bumpy.
Mm.
And then you realize, did those mother effers just take their meatball recipe and push it at the bottom of this like cast iron plate to heat it up? But really, it's just a meatball with brown gravy thrown on.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
This is, I'm calling BS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're the Taco Bell of Boosh.
Yeah, they have about 30 ingredients that isn't on their dessert menu, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, even you look at their cheesecake, I'm sure it's just one recipe that all of a sudden it's like, oh, let's make that chocolate chip, throw some chocolate chips into that recipe. Oh, let's put some strawberries on it. All right, then do that, but use the same recipe.
Yes.
Like,
oh, yes. Yep, this sounds exactly correct, Nick.
But you know what? All the stuff that we just named off, it all sounds pretty good. If they did a good mushroom gravy, that's good. Throw it on some fries. Guess what? Throw it on your regular fries. And then just throw a couple, two or three cheese curds on it. And right there, you got some poutine, son. Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, funny you should say that. There were some leftover fries, so I threw the mushroom gravy on top.
Of course you did.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm. It was, actually. The fries were the bomb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really go wrong with gravy on top of fries.
You can't. You can't.
That's like putting a mediocre chili on top of fries. It elevates that chili right away.
I wanna make some poutine. Have you ever made poutine?
I've never even eaten poutine.
Oh man!
Well, my wife and I have watched many videos that includes poutine in it, and every time if that gravy is really dark, I'm always, and you know me, I gotta watch the carbs.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I'm like, if I was at that restaurant, I'm getting that poutine, and I don't care how many daggers you throw out of your eyes. I'm eating that poutine because that's the gravy. It's all about that gravy.
Uh-huh. It's all about that gravy, about that gravy.
It'd be great if you asked your daughter tomorrow, hey, what did I eat there? And she's like, oh, I ordered the spaghetti and meatballs. You're like, what? What happened there?
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Where do we go? She does that all the time. We'll go someplace and just get like the plainest possible thing they have there. Every single time. She wants to record a Shazam podcast with me.
Hell yeah. Welcome to Nerdy Legion. Come on, a comfy couch, because I'll take a break for the week, because that other one was awesome.
So I told her we'd record one on Tuesday. So I've got a rough day tomorrow, but Tuesday I should be pretty light. So we're going to do that. So it'll be out sometime this week, I think.
And you know, you have to ask her, this is for Shazam?
Yeah.
I need to know which boys are the cutest. I need a rank. I need to know what costume she liked the most out of all of the Marvel family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Did she like Mary Marvel? Does she want to be Mary Marvel? Will this influence her going in costume to her next Comic-Con?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I need to know all of this stuff.
You know,
and ask her, did she like when he did that dance that at this point is probably a little old in the tooth, but did she like it? Or was she just like, oh, he should be doing this? And if he should be doing a different dance, what one's hot that he should be doing right now? These are all the questions you need to ask. Write them down, Martin.
I don't know, man. She's not into any of that stuff.
Yeah, I know. That's why we need to ask all the questions. A growing boy like me needs to know.
I think if she did a Mary Marvel cosplay, I would cosplay.
Nice.
I don't know what I would cosplay. Oh, I would cosplay as Mr. Mind.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Yeah. I always see, every time I go to the local con, there's a guy dressed up as a dinosaur. So I'm sure I can make a Mr. Mind costume out of that. Yeah, she was very excited. So me and Zoe went to see, Infinity War. Endgame yesterday. And Reagan didn't want to go.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, kind of. It's a long story. So we're like, we're going to go see it. And, when did I say this? Friday. So we're going to go see Avengers tomorrow. She's like, well, I kind of want to see Shazam again.
Yeah.
And I was like, we just saw Shazam. Like, we went to see it again. We just saw it. She's like, well, I want to see it again. I really like it. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Like daddy, like daughter.
So I said, all right, fine. I'll go with Zoe to see Endgame, and you can go see Shazam again. She's like, okay. So Saturday comes around, and I was like, oh, shit, I didn't get tickets. I should get tickets.
Oh, boy.
So first, there was a problem of finding Shazam at around the same time as Endgame.
Sure.
The second problem is Endgame is 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Right.
Shazam is 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
So there's going to be like an hour where she's doing nothing.
Or will she try to sneak into the movie? Or is your movie jam-packed?
Well, so at this point, I didn't know. I was trying to find times first. So it was a saga. It took me like an hour and a half to find these tickets.
Good Brian K. Vaughan book.
Because, no, it is not. So,
yes, it is.
What? Never heard of it.
Okay,
so,
that's the appropriate response.
So I looked through like five different theaters. And finally I found like one theater that had decent times, right? So like we would go in to watch Endgame and she'd have to hang around for like, you know, 20 minutes until her movie starts. And then she'd have to wait like 20 minutes for us to get out, which I figured like that's okay. You know what I mean?
Did she at least haggle so that she got her candy and popcorn since she had to wait? Did she guilt you into that?
No. I got them both. I got one for Zoe and then I got one for her.
Ah, very good.
So like, okay, I'm going to get these. So I go to buy the tickets and, you know, Fandango's not very smart. You can't do like multiple movies at once.
You mean like on one bill?
On one bill. You have to do them separately.
Yes.
So I was like, well, Avengers is more popular because Shazam's been out. I'm going to get tickets for Avengers first. So I click on it and this theater has assigned seating. So I'm like, okay, proceed to choose a seat. So it takes me to the chart. And the only available seats, there's like one by itself in one corner, one by itself in another corner, like one by itself on the side, and then like the front row is half empty.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm like, I'm not sitting in the front row. You can't see anything in the front row.
No, right.
So I find different times. I was like, okay, find a different time. This kind of makes sense too. Same kind of thing, right? Like wait 20 minutes before and after. So I got to get those tickets. There's literally one seat available. I'm like, why would you show me this when I just picked two tickets?
Right.
Like, you should automatically know if I pick two tickets, I need two fucking seats.
Right.
So, cancel out of that. I find a different one. Same damn thing. Only the front row. So I was like, you know what? I just need to find a different theater. So I went to the one that we went to go Shazam at. It's no assigned seating, but it's the one that I told you. It's got like unlimited refills on drinks and popcorn.
Yeah, you'd like that one.
So I go to there, and there's just no way. Like, she's gonna just have to wait an hour and a half.
Jeez. Wow.
Well, not that long. It was 50 minutes. 50 minutes.
Even though that sounds like heaven to me, because I would love to just sit there and read. Most people would be jumping out of their skin.
Well, and Reagan's like that too. So I tell Reagan, I said, look, I can't go to this theater because There's just no seats available. But I can get tickets here. You'll just have to wait in the lobby for like 50 minutes. She's like, mm-hmm. That's cool. I'll just do that. I was like, all right, fine.
Okay.
So I buy the tickets for Endgame. I buy her ticket for Shazam. And then like 15 minutes later, she comes into my office and she's like, if it's too much trouble, I'll just go see Avengers with you guys. And I was like, nope, too late. I already bought the tickets. You're going to go see Shazam.
But these are unassigned seating, right?
Right.
Like, you could have returned that one ticket and bought one more.
I mean, I could have, but there'd be no point because there's like a, you know, some kind of fee for like the refund. And I mean, the tickets are like $9. Like, I'm not going to pay a $5 refund fee on a $9 ticket. You know what I mean?
Are you teaching a life lesson right now?
There's always life lessons. This is the Nerd Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, because of all this, we were like running out of time. It was like 4 o'clock. And now, like, the movie starts at like 5:30. So I was like, you guys, because originally we were going to go at like 7.
Sure.
I was like, we don't have time to eat. You guys need to brush your hair, brush your teeth, get dressed. We got to go. So they get ready. We leave at like 5 o'clock. Get there. Fucking line up the ass. Now, remember, this is a small theater. They only have 8, I think. 8 theaters or 10. I think it's 8. 6 of the 8. We're showing Avengers.
Yeah, of course. That moneymaker.
Yeah. The big theater that I was originally wanted to go at has 20 theaters, 20 sure. screens. They were showing Endgame in 15 screens. 15 of
well,
the 20.
Of course. Sure.
So I hope there's no other movies that came out this weekend because nobody's going to go see them. and that was the same for like every theater that I looked at. Just everybody's just showing Endgame like 24 hours.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we get the long ass line. I go, I pick up my tickets at the little kiosk because they finally got that working. So that's nice. And then we get in line because I'm thinking like there's people in line to also get concessions.
And you don't just have like a thing on your phone to like, here, scan this. So you don't have to get the ticket.
Yeah, I had the confirmation number. So I just punched that in.
Oh, okay. Because we have like a little like QR code that they just scan. So there's no paper involved.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Maybe, but I don't have the app on my phone.
Gotcha. Oh, so yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're slim.
Yeah, I'm slim. So when I ordered it through the website, I just took a screenshot of the confirmation number.
Gotcha.
Or a picture, not a screenshot.
Sure.
So I'm in line. I'm like, man, this line's not moving for concessions. And I look over and there's just so many people in line that they're literally just blocking the whole theater. And there's like 2 people at the concession stand.
Oh my God.
So I just go around and I had them stay in line and I go around and I get the drinks and the popcorn and I give them the drink and popcorn. And I'm like, okay, go fill your stuff up. And so I'm waiting in line because I don't want to lose their spot. Well, the line starts moving. To go so we can go in, and Zoe's still filling up her popcorn. And I'm like, we gotta go.
Uh oh.
Well, she was very slow, so I had to get out of line and help her get her drink and popcorn. By this point, the line had died down, so we were literally like the last people into the theater of the line. I mean, there's people still coming in afterwards, but we still got like pretty good seats. Initially, we sat. Like 6 row up on the right hand side, you know, the 2-seater section.
Sure.
I sat there and I looked up the screen. I was like, nah, we can't sit here because I can't say anything. You can't.
This is unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. I mean, remember, Nick, I always sit in that like aisle seat right in the middle. Yeah, you know? Best seat in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Could not do that this time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not used to the side thing. You know, I gotta have decent seats. So we ended up moving to the middle. We were like 4th row up, which is pretty good. I think it's still a little too close, but at least you can actually see the whole screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hanging out. Me and Zoe are hanging out, watching commercials, whatever. Zoe ate all her popcorn, so she ran out to the lobby. And Reagan was still there, so she came back in. Then I had to go use the bathroom before the movie started. Reagan was still there. So yeah, because our movie started at 5:45 and then Shazam started at 6:55.
Wow. Holy mackerel. And then they wrapped up right around the same time?
Yeah, we got out, went to the bathroom, and then went outside so Zoe could dance
Yeah. Excellent.
And by the time Zoe got a couple dances in, Reagan came out.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. And she really enjoyed it, obviously.
Good.
We enjoyed Avengers quite a bit as well.
Good.
I like I said on Twitter, I don't know if it was necessarily better than Shazam.
Why judge? Why do we have to rate them?
Yeah, they were both great in different ways.
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to
Fantastic.
It.
You'll enjoy it. There was one scene, so I cried in a couple scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to ruin
anything. I have been on such blackout. No, I'm not telling you any further.
I'm not telling you. But I did cry in two scenes. One, when somebody shows up.
I'm not going to tell you, but I guarantee you
will cry also.
And then I cried on another scene when a person that has webs died. I don't want to ruin anything.
I'm not telling you anything.
Okay, don't.
And there was one scene where I said, fuck yeah.
Nice.
And then Zoe slapped me.
Oh, I heard there's only one scene at the end credits.
There are, spoiler alert, there are no scenes.
I heard there's one.
There is not a scene. There is a sound.
Yes, that's sort of what I meant.
Yes, but there are no visuals to the sound.
Do I need to sit through it for the sound?
No.
Okay, once I see it, you can tell me what that sound was.
No problem.
Okay, you did hear it then?
Yes.
Okay, then I will direct message you and find out, because I really don't want to sit around 5 minutes waiting to hear the sound. Because we went out to eat. Liz had a doctor appointment, so Friday we went out to eat, and I pulled out my wallet. Of course, it's a John Romita Spider-Man wallet. And the guy said, oh, you like comic books? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, did you see Avengers? And I'm like, don't ruin anything for me. Just tell me how many end credit scenes were there. And he goes, none, but there was a sound. And I'm like, is the sound as bad as on one of the last Star Wars movies when you heard Darth Vader breathing? And he goes, well, if you've read the comic books, you know what it is. And
no, you don't.
And I just took it like, all right, then I'm just going to ask one of my buddies, because obviously I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to hear Darth Vader breathing to be like, oh, he's going to come back in the next movie. Oh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Give me a break. I just wasted 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. If you've read the sounds, you know what it is. I've been trying to figure it out for the past 24 hours. I still don't know what it is.
Do you know what it is now?
No, I still don't know. No, I'm not going to look it up.
God, I want theory. I figured it would. I'm not even going to share what I think.
I have a theory of what it is.
Well, I don't want you to share it with
the audience. I'm not sharing it.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm not sharing it because it directs related. It relates to the plot. So I'm not.
Okay. All right. I'm not. Okay.
But it was very fun. I enjoyed myself a lot. Like I said, there was one scene where I said, "Oh yeah, I like that," because that was straight out of the comics. And actually, you know what? There were two scenes where I said F yeah, because there was another scene where somebody says something and I'm like, about goddamn time.
Oh, okay.
And after you watch it, I will tell you what that is.
All right. And we can do this on a podcast with a spoiler. I just don't want any. Guess what? I'm rude. I don't want anything spoiled for me. I've waited this long. I've been off of Twitter and Facebook the entire weekend.
That's smart.
Yes. So I do not want it.
It's very smart. I don't blame you. I don't understand why people want to get spoiled for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I don't, and I don't. I don't want it.
Mm-hmm. So,
Are you done with this?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Can I move something into comics adjacent land and ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Can I spoil a 5-month-old video game story that is a PS4 exclusive, so you'll never play it because you're part of the PC master race,
correct,
as we all know. Can I spoil the ending of that story as I throw up a warning, whoever wants to play this game and see the story and fast forward?
I guarantee you anybody that wants to play it has already played it. So
I would think so.
So yes.
Okay, and I'm talking about Spider-Man, the video game,
yes,
by Insomniac Studios. I finished the game, finished the DLC, the three DLC packs as well. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you anything. The DLC packs were probably one of the funnest DLC I played just because they felt like individual issues of a comic book. Each one felt like one individual issue because they all ended on a cliffhanger except for the last one. And it related back to the previous game, almost like how a comic book would relate back to this big event happened in the title, so we're going to refer to it 2 issues, 3 issues later.
I like that.
They did it really nice, really nicely. But I'll give you the broad strokes of it. Peter worked, and I told you, this is sort of like Edge of the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not canon. It's their take on the history of Spider-Man and his universe. But throughout the game, Peter is working with Doc Ock. And Doc Ock is just as smart as he is in the comic books. And he's developing these arms for like wounded warriors, for war vets, to help them recover like hand movements and arm movements missing legs, that type of thing.
Wasn't that part of the plot of Spider-Man 3?
Couldn't tell you.
I'm pretty sure.
I've blocked that out from my
head. Oh, come on. You don't like emo Spider-Man?
No.
That is not my Spider-Man. His little A down the street.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'll use your line back on you. So he's going through this. Peter's helping him, and they're breaking through. They're making breakthroughs. Finally, Doc Ock's funding gets stripped from him. And you find out that Norman Osborn, who's the mayor, strips the funding. Mm. He was the financial backer, which drives Doc Ock crazy. Of course, then that's how he straps on the arms and he goes after Norman. And Norman is a complete jag through the entire thing. And you find out there's a lot more layers to him, which is pretty cool. And you actually feel empathy for him. And then you're also like, oh, he's just like in the comic book. What a jerk. But he never becomes the goblin. He's just an industrialist. That's just a jag. But the part that I wanted to share with you is Doc Ock releases this neurotoxin over New York. And all these people get affected. They all start, dying. So Peter has to go after the antidote. Of course, he has to battle Doc. And halfway through, Doc Ock calls him Peter, which was fantastic. And of course, Peter Parker is amazed and shocked that somebody Sherlock Holmes this out, which is sort of like Clark Kent with his glasses, like, oh, come on. And that's pretty much what Doc Ock was. He was like, he just kept like bringing up like, of course, it wasn't hard to figure out, this, and this, and you knew way too much about Spider-Man. So, I put 2 and 2 together. Which was great because it was definitely like, oh my gosh, type moment. So at the end, or towards the end, he defeats Doc Ock, gets the antidote, goes back because all these people are infected, including Aunt May. And she's in the Feast soup kitchen from the whole like Mr. Negative.
Yeah.
Bit. And she's in this one room upstairs, like her office. And Peter comes in with the antidote, and the doctor who's going to replicate this antidote says, oh, great, with this antidote, I'll be able to recreate it, but it'll take time. But I will be able to recreate this antidote so that it will save the city. Thank God Spider-Man dropped this off. And then Peter, looking at his aunt who's dying, like right behind the doctor, and he goes, what if we used this to save one person? Can we still replicate it from that person's blood? Meaning that he wants to give it to his aunt, who's clearly dying in the background.
Right.
And
now, is the aunt old or is she hot?
No. This is like old Aunt May.
Aunt May. Okay.
It's not the Ditko Aunt May. It is a lot more like the Dan Slott Aunt May.
Gotcha.
Like with the short haircut when she was marrying J. Jonah Jameson's husband.
Yeah.
But it's Insomniac drove down to how I relate to Peter Parker and how a lot of people relate to Peter Parker. And it's shocking that a game, this game pulled out tears from me like three times. And when Peter asked that question, the doctor's looking at him and Peter's looking at the doctor, but then in the background, he can see May. And she's pretty, like, the doctor pretty much said, you know, say goodbye to your aunt. And the doctor, when Peter's like, what if we save one person? Can you replicate this through her blood? And he was like, no, you could save one person, but then you would doom the city. And then he just walked past the doctor and went to Aunt May and said his goodbyes as Spider-Man. This isn't Peter. Like, he's still dressed up as Spider-Man. And he, you know, he's saying, you know, Miss Parker, I'm sorry, but, you know, I have to do what's right for the city. And it was just like the core character tenets that drove me into that character. Like, oh my God, dude, I was like in tears. It was shocking how like tone perfect it was, because May's dying and she's like, I know you have to do what's right. And then she goes, like, without even skipping a beat, Peter, pull up your mask. I want to see you before the end. And of course, like, Spider-Man steps back a little bit. And he's just like, you know? And she's like, yeah, I've known for a long time, but I would never tell you that I know. And he said, I always wanted to tell you, but I didn't want you to stress that I was out there. And she goes, oh, but I did. And it was, I'm telling you, dude, I'm sitting there, I'm crying while I'm watching this scene. And it was a long scene. And then the wife came home like an hour later and I'm talking to her about it and I start crying again. It just so struck me, like, oh my God, I've been reading this character for four decades. And it encapsulated every reason of why I read this character. And I understand some people it doesn't connect up with. And that's, hey, to each their own. That's why there's tons of capes and cowls out there. There's somebody out there for everybody. But it's like, that's what, like, it's crazy that a video game knew enough to not change the character. And I mean, it changed so much. Like, there's a whole Miles Morales wanting to, like, and as a reader, you know who Miles Morales is. And through the entire video game, I'm like, when is he going to become Spider-Man? What the hell? Why would this character be here? And then at the very end, the last scene, a radioactive spider comes down and bites him. And then in the DLC, him and Spider-Man connect up and he finds out, oh, Peter Parker is Spider-Man. It's crazy. It's so good. So worth it.
So do I need to buy a PS4 to play this game?
I bet you anything you could go on to YouTube and probably watch all the story beats and get exactly everything.
What do I look like, a 12-year-old? I'm not going on YouTube.
But I don't want you to spend $500 to be able to play through a video game. True. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But is it worth it? Yeah. If somebody edited all of the cutscenes together and then whatever is explained without cutscenes, if somebody just narrated over it, it'd probably be a 25-minute video. But I'm telling you, there are scenes with him and Mary Jane. And remember, we talked about this before, and I couldn't quite figure out, like, oh, they used to be an item, but then they broke up, but I don't know why they broke up. And like, the story never told you until the very end. And they broke up because it had nothing to do with, like, Peter Parker dating the Black Cat or something stupid like that. Like, Peter broke, and it totally made sense. Peter broke up with her because he didn't want to put her in danger. And I'm like, that's why, like, Superman's so good. That's why some of these characters, when they're selfless like that, it's just like, dang, that's so cool. And that's like, that's why I love the nobility of comic books and certain characters. It's just, damn, it's awesome. Like, yeah, of course, like, you look at Batman and what drives him. It's like, yeah, why wouldn't the death of his parents completely warp him and do something that drives him, you know, every day,
mm-hmm.
to do, you know, to make a difference? And that, it just, dude, it's so reaffirmed. So if you sat through it, and I'm telling you, it looks better than most like animated cartoons. It, whew, if you found the right video and had everything like edited together, it's some high quality like cutscenes. It's really, really good. Like I get that some people that I know don't like Spider-Man. I get that. But it is one of those things that's like, even if you don't like the character, there's no way you wouldn't be able to play through that game or watch all the cutscenes and be like, okay, I don't like the character. He's X, Y, and Z, and this is why I don't like him. But I can see why people like him. Like, it definitely shows the character. And oh my God, the amount of costumes, unlockable costumes you can do, they must have 25 costumes in there.
Jeez.
From like the Future Foundation, the black and white costume.
I love that one, yeah.
To the Fantastic Four costume where he has the bag on his head. Like, they went deep, deep into it. It's so neat. Like, even the, what was it, the Scarlet Spider one for Civil War where he has, like, the arms. They even have that one.
Nice.
The Tony Stark arm one. Yeah, it's really, really neat.
They've always been pretty good. Well, not always, but the last few games. What's the one? It's like Subway Surfers or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Where you don't really do anything. All you do is you can go left, right, and you can jump. So the whole screen is moving, and you're basically like avoiding obstacles.
Is this a okay? You're talking Spider-Man games, right?
Yes.
And this is a mobile game that's like an endless runner.
Yeah, it's also in the arcade, but yeah, it's an endless runner.
Yeah, that one's fun. That one's all right.
That one's got a bunch of costumes in there too.
I know. It's crazy how, and the sad thing is, like, I play every Batman game, and there's nowhere, like, even the best for unlockable costumes, even the best ones probably have 8 costumes tops.
Yeah.
Where it's like, dude, Batman has a shit ton of costumes. And even if you didn't, like, use all comic book ones, let the designers create, like, I don't care. There's a couple costumes that were made up just for the video game, and they look cool as hell. It's like, that's what I want. I just want unlockable stuff. I remember there was a Spider-Man game, I think it was on the 360, that was like cel-shaded.
That was good.
Yeah, and that one had a lot of rinse and repeat, but it also had, like, you could play as Spider-Man Noir on a couple stages, and a lot of their unlockables were comic book covers, even though I've seen these comic book covers 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It's still like, oh, shit, I unlocked, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 86. I got to go look at that. Like, who cares? But for whatever reason, it's like, yeah, I get a charge out of doing that. But it was so good, dude. Oh, my God. It was crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Never mind. You said it was a PS4 exclusive.
Yeah, it is. And it's from Insomniac, so I don't think, like, they do Ratchet and Clank, and Ratchet and Clank was on the PS2.
Yeah.
As well as 3 and 4. And those games have never, ever gone on any other platform except for Sony. So I don't see those ever being available.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but just watch the cutscenes, dude. Oh, my God.
Maybe is there a PS4 emulator? I mean, not that I would condone that. Of course, I would buy the full version of the game because, you know, then I can have a digital backup of it that I could play.
I couldn't tell you.
I'll have to look this up. I kind of want to play it now.
It has a great combat system, too.
Really?
Yeah, really neat, like, unlock tree with all the powers and stuff.
Is it like a real combat system or like the Batman games?
It's like the Batman games.
Okay.
Yeah. You just unlock, like, now you can double jump. Now you can jump twice as far.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it's fun. It has just enough carrot on the stick to keep you going when it comes to the unlockables and new powers and gadgets and stuff. But trust me, there are parts, even with those type of games, where it's like, are you fucking kidding me? An escort mission? Wait, hold on. Now I'm doing this mini game that involves, like, tailing somebody. So you have to be close enough to hear them, but far enough away. It's like, oh, my God, come on. So trust me, there are some video gamey crap. But, like, there's one that has like battle arenas that you have to do, and the person that's in charge of it is Taskmaster.
Oh, and can you and play
that? See, that for me is awesome because you get him in a couple cutscenes and they're going back and forth like witty banter back and forth. But did I do all of the freaking mini games? You know, the little mini arenas that he has?
Yeah.
See, like, oh, now I can finally battle Taskmaster. No, hell no. There were so many of them, I was like, F that. Mm. Sorry, Taskmaster, even though I would love to see it, but nope.
Dang it. Well, can you play as Taskmaster, though?
No, no.
You know what? Let's play a game. It's called Martin Buy Something on Air.
Uh-oh. Welcome back, Martin.
What's Taskmaster's first appearance? I need that.
Isn't it Avengers 186?
Let's find out. Boop, 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 boop,
boop. I think it's George Perez.
Ooh, you were so close. 195.
Can I give you a story about, I think I might have even told this about it. Avengers 195.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That is my first Avengers comic.
Oh, wow.
And that is the first thing that I've ever stole.
Oh.
Because there was a barber shop that we used to go to as young children. And me and the great thing about this barber shop is they would have, you know, Sports Illustrated, different magazines, and then the owner would have comic books.
Uh-huh.
So we loved going there. My brother and I would just read the comic books. And it was so good. And I look at that cover. Even to this day, I would love to own like a pristine copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was in the barbershop, I was looking through the pages. And after we got our haircut, my dad was paying. And I, as a very naughty boy, I rolled up the comic book and stuck it in my back pocket. And then we went out to the car. And as my dad started, like, he started up the car, we're both in, I think my brother's in the front seat, I'm in the back seat. And I take it out of my back pocket and I start reading it. Well, and I'm sure your parents are the same way. Like back in the day, their car was spotless. There's not anything out of place.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knew, hey, my son, he did not bring any comic books in the car with him. How the hell did he get this? When he looked back to like reverse out, he saw that I was reading a comic book and he's like, where'd you get that comic book? And I was like, oh, it was here. He's like, it wasn't here. Was that from the barbershop? And then I couldn't lie. And he marched me back in there and had me hand it to the manager and apologize.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible.
Wow.
So have I ever bought that in back issues? I bought it digitally. But I think I've always felt too guilty to actually buy the physical copy, even though I want the physical copy. Oh, my God. It was terrible. It was terrible.
That's hilarious.
And I mean, dude, I was old and I was always like, hey, we've talked about it before. I've always been the good boy.
Yeah.
And just the amount of Catholic guilt and like, you don't do that. That's, you don't steal. That's a commandment. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even leading up to that, I would never steal a penny candy. I would never. And I was even the kid, like when my mom's like, I'm going to buy, you know, if it was like five candies for a dollar or whatever, like, sure. Could I have just held up my hand and my mom give the cashier a dollar figuring, oh, there's five candies in his hand. But really in my head, it's like, ha ha, there's six. But he didn't count that. No, I would never even do that. No, no, no. And even to this day, it's like, oh boy, like I just can't do that. That's why I always make fun of like, I'm not going to put on that pirate patch, that eye patch. Cause it's just like, I just get wigged out. But that cover's so good. Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
It's so good.
So do you think, a little over $100 is good for a CGC copy? It's a 9.6.
Yeah.
Sold.
Could I also see that character in a movie or television show? Yeah, I could. I'm shocked he hasn't been yet.
Maybe in phase whatever is next.
Which version of Taskmaster do you like?
I like the OG.
So you like the bounty hunter who can learn every move and lure it back to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that used to be my favorite, but I think the Fred Van Lente, almost like a computer disk memory where he, every bit of memory is already used up in his head. Mm-hmm. So if he learns a new move, then
he forgets one.
Yeah, he forgets one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sort of like that concept too. I think that's a neat way to modernize it.
Did
you really get it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a. Have you ever read it?
No.
Oh, it's a good story.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. This is a two-parter, isn't it?
I believe so, but I was also very young when I read it last.
Let's see here. Let's look up 196, because maybe I have to buy that one. See, 196 I have read, because it's got a Taskmaster on the cover.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'm thinking of 196. I think it's like a green cover.
Yeah, green cover.
195, you said?
195 is the first appearance. Well, you know how comics things are.
Oh, so it'll be the last page of it?
Yeah, yeah.
You son of a bitch. Hate that. No, it was 196 is the one I stole.
Yeah.
Because I wrote that green cover.
Dang, the CGC 196s are fucking high. Whoa.
Maybe that is the official.
Well, it's
but
the
dude,
it's
you
the
can
first
buy 196 right now on Comixology for 99 cents. It's on sale.
Yeah, but I could put it up on the wall.
That's true, because God, that's such a sweet. Oh, that is such a great cover, Perez.
Mm-hmm. Perez is a man.
Heck yeah.
Anything the Avengers can do, I can do better.
And it's Michelini.
So. Uh huh. Yep, Dave Michelini.
So good. I'd recommend both.
All right, I might not get a CGC copy of this because I don't want to spend. There's not even like a mid-grade thing here. It's at least an I know, and that's $650. That's a little much for Taskmaster.
$950?
$650.
$650. Yeah, that's pretty fucking high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Because I hate to say it, not that it isn't an awesome. That would be awesome, like you said, to have on your wall. But if you're putting out 600, I would almost think you could buy, just imagine the sweet ass art page you could be buying for $600.
This is true.
If you had to slap that money down.
This is true. I mean, I like shitty characters, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't mind having this, but like, I didn't even pay that much for my first Kong, you know what I mean? And I love Kong the Conqueror. I'm not going to pay $650 for that.
I hear you.
I might buy a raw copy. I'll have to look on eBay.
I think you need to buy 195 and 196 and read them both tonight.
Well, I bought 195.
Yeah, but you're not reading it tonight. They're only 99 cents.
All right. I'll buy it on Comixology too. God damn it, Nick.
Yeah.
This guy.
Or are those part of Unlimited? I didn't even look for you.
I'm checking right now.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, God forbid they put, what, 30-year-old comic?
Man, I do love some Perez Avengers, though. That was the shit.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm trying to think, was he doing... I don't think he was doing Avengers anymore when I started.
No? What was the first Avengers that you can remember reading when it was originally coming out?
Well, it was the first comic I ever bought. It was, I don't know. Let's do some research right now, Nick. Avengers.
Did Thor have a beard? How about that?
Hawkeye was in there. The real Hawkeye. Old school Hawkeye.
Was he back from West Coast Avengers at that time?
That's a good question.
Or he didn't go to West Coast yet?
I don't remember. This is like 30 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see. I can do it by 50. I'm going to do it by date. April, May. Come on. We're almost there.
So close.
Now we'll know what my first comic book was.
Was it? No, it can't be Avengers 101. That's far too early.
No, that's way too early. All right. Martin's first comic book ever.
Uh-oh.
Put this in the annals of history.
Yeah, give it to me.
Avengers 329.
329. I want to look at the cover. I want to deep dive on this one. Oh, that's a good one. Dude.
Written by Larry Hama with art by Paul Ryan, not the jerk in the government. Wait, he's retired, right? Not the jerk that used to be in the government. The artist, Paul Ryan.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
One of the best things with Avengers is whenever they did the new roll call. And they even Marvel put out two trades full of those roll calls issues. And I just love them. I love the roll calls.
See, now I understand why I like Quasar, because he was in that first Avengers book that I picked up.
There you go.
See, and this is my Vision too, the White Vision.
The White Vision is dope.
Yeah, the White Vision is dope.
And I think that this is one of the better Black Widow costumes.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. God damn it. Now I need to buy this too. Oh, man.
Who's the guy to the right of Spider-Man?
That looks like
Ozymandias in purple between Spider-Man and Hercules.
Who is that?
I think it's Ozymandias.
No, dude.
I know it's before, but still.
Let's see. I don't remember this character either. Rage? Who the hell's Rage?
I have no idea. Hey, it's your first comic book, not mine.
Yeah, but I don't remember this. New roster. Captain America, Quasar, Cersei, She-Hulk, Black Widow, Thor, and Vision. Also at the meeting, Cap designates Rage as a provisionary Avenger, and the United Nations presents the Avengers with a new charter. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Aang the Unspeakable. I don't remember that either.
Sheesh.
Appearances by J. Jonah Jameson, Joe Robertson, Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Hank Pym, Iron Man, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, Tigra, Wasp, Black Knight, Captain Marvel, Falcon, Hercules, Sandman. It is Sandman. Oh, wow. Spider-Man, Submariner, and the Captain. God, the good old days.
You know, though, okay, that was the one that I really remember is Avengers 181.
Avengers 181. Is this your first comic?
No, I don't think this is my first one, but it was part of the burn run, was some of my first Avengers.
All right, let's figure it out.
But this is what I was talking about with the whole roll call. Like, I gathered all 60 heroes together, and of course, a supervillain's going to bust in and try to break this thing up and try to kill everyone, even though all the villains can't kill seven of you. But it's time for us to pick a new Avengers team. Like, this was all – because you got – I told you before, I didn't have a lot of money. That's why I always, like, gravitated towards group books, because I got, like, seven or eight superheroes in a book instead of just one. And this type of comic book, like 181, blew my brains out. Just like, oh, my God, I have, like, 50 heroes all in this one comic book.
This cover's hilarious.
It's awesome.
It says, seven of you will remain as Avengers. The rest of you are out.
And there's like 60 people on the cover. But come on, that's some good John Byrne right there.
Yeah, that's nice. That's real nice.
Yeah. So that's sort of my group. Like, Wasp hated Wasp's outfit. That was a terrible Wasp outfit.
I was never a big fan of Wasp.
Like, your grouping, I like the way all of – from your first comic book, I like the way all of those guys are designed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than this.
Yeah, yeah. I that era was good, man. That's when they had what the hell was his name? Marvel Man? Was that his name? Wasn't that his name? Marvel Man?
Mr. Marvel?
No. Wonder Man. Wonder Man.
Wonder Man. There you go.
Wonder Man. He was a jerk.
Oh, come on.
He was such a jerk.
He's an actor.
He
had to go back to Hollywood.
He was ditching the Avengers to go hang out on the Letterman show.
Yeah, he has some starlets to go hang out
God,
with.
God, what a jerk that guy is.
But did you even notice on that 181 at the bottom is even Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, even the Guardians of the Galaxy is like, ooh, there's a roll call. I better go
hilarious.
Over there.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. God, Hank Pym's costume is terrible.
Mm-mm-mm.
That is my least favorite. That's the yellow jacket, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yikes.
Yeah, sometimes those retro costumes are a little iffy.
Yeah, that's a lot of iffy.
Yeah.
Mm. I do like this Black Widow, though.
See, I like that, but I prefer the gray costume.
Yeah, the old gray when she had the short hair and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I would say the traditional black one with the yellow wrist guns, that's my second favorite.
Yeah. Oh, man, costumes sure have changed. I'm looking at all these people. Well, Hercules has always looked the same.
Yeah.
Who else looks the same? Well, I guess Captain Marvel looks basically the same.
Hawkeye's always pretty much looked the same until Fraction.
That's very true.
Yeah, same with Cap.
Yep, Cap's always kind of looked the same. Let's see, Black Panther. Yeah, Black Panther's kind of looked the same.
But Scarlet Witch? Oof.
Oh, man, that's my favorite that Scarlet outfit Witch. Never... What? You are crazy! That was the best.
It's so dated.
It's so good. Look at her hair.
I know. It goes up like 6 inches.
She looks like Peggy Bundy.
Yes. Yes.
Gosh, she's sexy.
But I certainly would take your, and isn't that crazy? Like, I certainly would take your white Vision over this traditional one.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was only what, 10, 11 issues later that he goes white Vision.
Mm-hmm.
So nuts.
I remember when I picked up Avengers and I fell in love with Vision. I don't even know why, but I just thought he was the coolest fucking character ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the first couple of issues that I was reading, I didn't even realize that he was a robot.
Oh yeah.
And then when I found out, I was like, wait, he's a robot? What? And eventually I ended up finding some back issues and I read them and I was like, oh, I'm glad they changed it to the white outfit because this fucking thing's terrible. Which, I mean, now I don't mind it, but I mean, I definitely prefer the white one.
Yeah, same here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now you sort of just want that back.
I wonder, do you think it's something to do with like the paper, maybe? Because think about like comics in like before, like 80s and before. Did you really have like white costume characters a lot? Not really, right?
No.
I don't know if it shows that well with that kind of like coloring style.
Yeah, it might just be the way the cover or the colors get printed.
Yeah. Huh, that'd be interesting to find out. If you are a comic book publisher or know anything about comics, because we sure don't, then let us know. At Geekvine and at Nick Webmore. Thanks. Damn it. Now I feel like I need to get an Avengers run.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you need a Champions run.
Nah.
Oh, I love the Champions.
Well, old school Champions are good.
Yeah.
I don't like the new Champions. Well, I mean, I like the new Champions, but it's not as good as the old Champions.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking old school.
No, I feel like I should do this. I feel like, you know how Mike does the every DC since 1973?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should at least do, like, Avengers from, like, March of 91.
How about from your birth year till now?
From my birth year till now.
Uh-huh.
But that's going to cut into buying Batman books.
It sure will. Gotcha.
I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, they're not terrible.
I'm talking non-CGC.
Yeah, I'm talking non-CGC. All right, okay. Let's see. Let's see here. Let's go to September 1981.
Ooh, that's a good... Oh, that's some good stuff right there. 81?
Mm-hmm, 81. September 81 is Avengers 211.
Oh, shit.
Guest starring Angel, Dazzler, Hercules, Iceman, Moon Knight, and Tigra. Script by Jim Shooter with pencils by Jim Colan. But it's got that terrible yellow jacket. God!
Did you say 211?
211.
211. Yeah, but it also is X-Men, too.
It is. And I like this Angel. They're doing a... Well, I don't know about right this second. But within the last couple of years, they were doing a similar version of Angel to this.
Wait, why are you complaining about this cover?
I'm not. I just don't like Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, but did you see who's right behind Yellow Jacket?
Yes, the greatest Your character guy. Of all time.
Yes. Happy birthday, Martin Ferretti. There's some Moon Knight.
I was looking at A World by Night 32 today because goddamn Michael Myers completed his Werewolf by Night collection.
Heck yeah.
And I still don't have a 32. My goal for this year is to own a Werewolf by Night 32.
Dang.
So I can complete my Moon Knight.
I like it. 211.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to see what you'd be into if you continued on from 211.
Man, they're really cheap, 211 and newer.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, comparably. I wonder, does my comic shop do like
bulk discounts? Ooh, look at 221. Ooh, hot dog.
221. Oh, yeah, I like that. That's a nice cover. And the Surfer, ooh.
I hate to say it, I would almost tell you to go back a little bit further just so you can pick up the Burn issues, because that was one hell of a run.
God, look at Dazzler. What was the story? Well, there's a story behind Dazzler. Wasn't Dazzler supposed to be a different character?
I don't know. I never really looked into that.
I remember hearing this sometime. I wonder, here we go, Origin of Dazzler. Yeah. Here you go. Dazzler was originally commissioned by Casablanca Records in 1978 as an animated special to be multimedia cross-promotion with the character known as the Disco Queen. Marvel Comics would develop a singing superhero, while Casablanca would produce a singer. Marvel Comics editor Jim Shooter wrote a treatment for the animated special, who quickly turned into a live-action feature-length film that would be produced by Filmworks. Shooter put together a small committee at Marvel to figure out the character's nature, background, and personality. Writer Tom DeFalco was the lead writer behind her creation, while John Romita Jr. designed her. The character soon changed its name from the Disco Queen to Dazzler, thanks to a suggestion from writer Roger Stern. Due to financial concerns, Casablanca Records left the project, but the film was still in the works. Romita Jr. intended the character to resemble model, actress, and singer Grace Jones, but representatives from Filmworks wanting to promote model and actress Bo Derek insisted on design changes to reflect Derek's features. The film project was canceled after Filmworks refused to let Bo Derek's husband, John Derek, direct the film. That is hilarious.
Gee, many Christmas.
That is hilarious.
And then did they go on to star and direct 10, the Bo Derek vehicle?
Yes.
We'll show them. We'll do
that. Man, that Jim Shooter was into some shit back in the day.
Hell yeah.
He was into some shit. Wasn't he the one that that designed the He-Man comic too? Oh no, never mind. That was the Secret Wars thing. I was getting confused. But He-Man was the same kind of thing though, right? They're like, hey, we have these toys that we made. You guys should make it into a cartoon.
Yep.
I want to say Jim Shooter had his hands in that. I don't know why I'd say that, but I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I know Secret Wars was for sure.
That's funny.
God. He-Man. Dun, 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 dun.
I think you need to start picking up some of the Perez Avenger. How pricey are those? Just loose, not CGC'd.
20 to 50.
Yeah, I was going to say, Perez still holds his value pretty well.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Yeah. There was one that you would like. Well, God, see, I'm already starting you on your run. If you go back to Avengers 194, that's a good Vision story with Mr. George Perez at the helm.
194, let's scroll up. You know, Martin Buys All the Comics is everyone's favorite segment.
Is it?
I don't know. No, everyone's favorite segment is when we talk about shrimp tacos.
That's true.
Let's see, 194. Ooh, that's a nice cover. I like that.
Until they complain that all you guys do is talk about food.
Listen, we're talking about comics right now. You all shut your goddamn mouths.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
Now, take a look at Avengers 198. When I first saw that, I always thought that was Voltron.
198.
Yeah. Oh, Ronin. Attack of the Red Ronin.
Oh, yeah. I like Ronin.
George Perez and Terry Austin, come on.
Well, so, I mean, if I just bought this 195, I should just start at 195 at least.
I'm only bringing you back to a little bit, that's all.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, I like this Vision cover. All right, so we'll do 194.
Yeah, there's not too many before that, I believe, that are Perez. So I think you'd be all right.
So,
oh, God damn it.
So 194 is the first Perez?
No. Well, yeah, possibly. But like I know before that are some Burn. And there's some nice Burn stuff. That's all I'm saying. There is Avengers Annual number 8. That's Perez too. Which, you know, you can buy all this stuff for 99 cents on Comixology right now. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
I know, I know. You're Mr. Physical. I just want you to read some good stuff right now.
Listen, I just want to get physical, physical. I want to get physical.
I'm just telling you, you could buy Avengers Masterwork, Volume 18.
Yeah.
Avengers 178 to 188, Annual 8 and 9. Marvel Premiere 49 and materials from Marvel Tales 100. And dude, that's some John Byrne. That's some Perez right there. Woo! And we're talking that's 10 issues, including two oversized annuals, as you well know.
Yeah.
For $5.99. You could be reading tonight.
So you said what volume Masterworks?
18.
Man, these Masterworks have nice fucking covers.
Yeah, they do.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they do. But that's a really good run because the John Byrne stuff is so good. And then the George Perez, like, other than I think there's a couple loose issues where, like, Sal Buscema comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But how is that bad? Answer me that. Riddle me that, Batman.
Wait, these are all Kirby covers? Who colored these?
What? What are you talking about, Kirby covers?
It says cover by Jack Kirby.
What, on the one that I just told you, the Masterworks?
Oh, no, I was looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, 6 is Buscema. I want to know who's coloring these, because they don't look like who they say they are. But it could just be the coloring. Who's 4? 4 is Don Heck. Yeah, these... I don't know about these. I don't know about this. I think Comixology is lying to me about who did these covers.
Uh-oh.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe it could be. Maybe. Let's see what...
What one are you looking at?
Who sells
so
books?
So I can take a look.
I was just looking at Avengers Masterworks Volume 4. That's a Don Heck cover.
Yeah, be interested. I want to know more.
Oh, you know what? I know what the problem is. No, never mind. Never mind. I'm wrong. Okay. Let's continue.
Okay.
So if I'm on Amazon right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, it's got to be the coloring. So look at, for example, Avengers Masterworks Volume 2.
Volume 2.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So written by Stan Lee. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Illustrator Jack Kirby. That's correct. Cover art Jack Kirby.
Jack. It says Jack Kirby and Don Heck.
Okay, look at this cover. Does that look like either Kirby or Heck?
I'm looking at the signature on the cover itself, and it says Kirby. It says Kirby and white, right in between Captain America's legs.
Oh, yes, it does. Well, I'll be a pickle. Well, whoever colored this really changed it up, because I don't really think it looks... I mean... The facial expression's a little bit, but it does not look like Kirby.
I think it looks a little like... I think it's Kirby, but I want to know, does that say white? And is that Dean White who did the colors? Because he's usually pretty good, unless he's trying to ape that decade of coloring. I'm not sure, because it doesn't look like Dean White colors.
Yeah, yep.
But I can see in the faces, it's almost like somebody's paying tribute to Kirby. It doesn't really look like Kirby.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm.
But boy, oh boy, if you wanna lull yourself to sleep tonight with some fantastic dreams, I would recommend that Avengers. Woo, Masterworks. Woo, lordy.
Man, that's a good deal. $6.
There's some really good Comixology, especially Avengers deals right now, because, hey, guess what? The movie.
Oh, wait. I'm not signed in. God damn it. Well, I still get a discount though, right? So it's probably going to be like $5, because you get like the extra 15%.
Oh, shoot. You're right. That's you.
Yeah. All right. I guess I'm buying all these.
Oh, I'm telling you, there's a couple volumes right there, right in that like run. That are just such great Byrne and George Perez.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you don't get them, like I said, you get a Buscema or you'll get like Bob Hall. Like they're all really good writers and artists.
You know what I don't like about this though? And I mean, it's not going to be a big deal if I get these digitally. How many are there? Is there 19 volumes? Is that right?
Oh, buddy, I'm telling you to cherry pick. You don't need to get all that. You can still get your physical. No one's going to tell you different.
So here's my problem.
Did you
look up Avengers Masterworks? Are you on that page?
I'm going to it right now. Which one were you asking about?
Just do a search for Avengers Masterworks, and you look at all these covers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what bothers me? Take a look at this page and see if you can figure out what bothers me.
Uh-oh. Well, you're very nitpicky, so.
No, this is not a nitpicky thing. I think this is very, very reasonable.
Okay, go ahead.
So if you look at these, they all have like a reprint of a cover, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
they're
framed in the silver thing, right? It says Marvel Masterworks, The Avengers, Volume, whatever. So it looks cool, right? Like I like the OG style.
Are you going to complain about 2 through 7?
But I'm going to complain about volumes 2 through 6.
I knew you would.
Because they look nothing like the rest of them. And like, here's the thing. If you had started doing these, right? And then like halfway through, you're like, let's change the trade dress. Let's make it like this. And then they were all the same.
Yep.
Or you like reprinted them with a dust jacket or something, you know what I mean? So they all look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Then, okay, like that's cool. But why would you do 1 in one style and then 2 through 6 in a different style and then 7 through 19 in a different style? That just makes me kind of angry, Nick.
Well, let's look at your favorite superhero, Batman. And how many different trade dresses he's gone through. Because as soon as it went to New 52, then you had one trade dress. Then it goes to, you know, there's so many that are like side by side that are just like, oh my God, now DC went to that blue and white spine. Oh my God, why is the Court of Owls different? Why is this different? Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no, and the stupid thing with that is, it's one thing like you're doing 2 through 6 of the Avengers because it's all Kirby stuff. So we're going to make Kirby like stand out because he's the king.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why wouldn't you do volume 1 that way too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. But that doesn't even hold water either because all of a sudden you get into like Don Heck issues. Like you get into like non-Kirby stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is, so I get what you're saying. But why not keep that, like, silver border around? You know what I mean? Like, if you want to have this awesome fucking looking cover, like, I'm down with that. These covers are nice.
Sure.
But, like, put the border around it so they all look like they belong together.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it's frustrating.
God. This is not just an Avengers Masterworks thing, though. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. I guess, like, you couldn't. There's no like financial incentive to reissue older trades in the new trade dress, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I highly doubt it.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But I will say, if you're going to spend money, I certainly am not going to tell you. You got to buy all 19 Avengers Masterworks. But I would lean you towards getting volume 16, 17, and 18. Because 17 has the Korvac saga, it has Jim Starlin,
ooh,
Thanos,
it has Ultron.
Like that's a good volume, as well as you know Byrne, Buscema, and Perez.
Which was that 17? You said
that's 17, and 16 is the same thing. Like 16 has Serpent Crown, it has Serpent Crown, it has Atlantis, it has Doctor Doom. There's just some good stuff. Good stuff in there.
I wonder how much are these like in print?
Well, it says $16.99. I would guess you probably can get an in stock trade, probably half off.
It's fine
now. But then you have to buy $50 worth on Amazon. I would guess 35% off probably.
So on Amazon they're $82.
Is that for hardback?
Yeah, hardcover.
Yeah. Oof.
Well, I mean, I think these are what, $125, right, at a shop?
Yeah, probably 100, I'd guess.
I wonder if it says, does it say anywhere? See, Amazon, if you want me to buy this, you need to tell me how much I'm saving. Oh my.
But I will tell you, Avengers Masterworks 16 also has the Ultron Takes a Bride, where he, is it Crystal that becomes his bride?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Is this digital? There's like a 40. Oh, this is digital. Never mind. I'll say this is a good deal, but not for digital books. There 47 Avengers trades for $3.55.
$3.55?
$355. Noosa.
Noosa.
Hey, breaking news.
Hmm.
Avengers is the highest grossing film of all time.
The original one? By Joss Whedon? Way to go, Joss.
Endgame.
Joss Whedon. The first one.
Just Thursday and Friday, it did $487 million.
Those numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I should go to Box Office Mojo and look this up. Now I'm really curious. Holy shit! God damn! So through the time of this recording, Nick,
mm-hmm.
That's 4 days since the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
$1.2 billion.
Jesus.
That's a lot of money.
Superheroes can do no wrong. Oh, wait, they can.
They can. Hellboy, $5 at the box office.
Oh.
Ha, 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 ha. I don't know. Man. I'm curious, actually. Hellboy 2019. Lifetime gross, $21.5 million. Wah, wah, wah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Not everything that Stranger Things touches turns to gold, I guess.
No, it does not. Mm-mm-mm. That's too bad.
Yeah, that is.
They will never make a Hellboy movie again. Oh, that's not true. Maybe in like 20 years.
Maybe, yeah.
Possibly. But maybe not. So I almost fired this woman at work.
Uh-oh.
Because she told me that grain-fed beef was more delicious than grass-fed beef.
What?
And I told her, you need to get the hell out of this office before I fire you.
Did she say an Impossible Burgers tastes much better than grass-fed beef?
Ugh, I do want to try that, though.
So do I, but come on. Come on. Like, yeah. I get that could be the best. Like, I will give it, this is the best vegetarian burger I've ever had in comparison to it tasting like beef. Okay. If I try it, I might say that. But would that be the best veggie burger or better than an actual beef burger?
Mm.
No. And to be honest with you, I go to veggie burgers only if they're house made. And you know what I want? I want it to be a kick-ass veggie burger. Do I care that it even comes close to tasting like beef or the texture of beef? Could care less. Just make it tasty.
Yeah, make it tasty. Fuck
but
the
I
texture.
Get in. I get Impossible Burger is like all about texture and taste and being as close to beef as possible, but mm-hmm. It's still like, that's not what I'm going there for. But also I'm not a vegetarian. So, you know, I get it.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
But grain beef as good as not even organic, but grass fed.
Yeah. So
I
So I don't.
You have a crazy person working for you.
Well, so I don't know if this woman's just an idiot or what, because we were talking. I mean, she's not an idiot. She's very bright. Let me rephrase that. We were talking, and somehow we started talking about what was she talking about? Oh. She used to live in Georgia when she was married to her ex-husband. And they lived. I mean, not like in the woods, but they were in the boonies. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There were like woods behind their house. And she was talking about how she's always had a fascination with pigs, right? So one day her husband called her and he's like, hey, I bought you a pig. And then brought the pig home. And it turns out that he had bought like an entire litter of pigs. So he brought like 9 pigs home.
Are these those small little pigs?
Well, I mean, they were small little pigs when they were piglets, but eventually they became full-grown pigs.
But you know what I'm saying, those small...
Yeah. Teacup pigs? No.
Yeah, teacup.
No, these were regular pigs, which of course are gigantic. Very smart, very gentle. Yeah. But anyway, so she was telling me about that and like some other stuff. I was like, well, did you ever slaughter the pig? And of course she didn't. She's like, no. She's like, I grew up in the city, like my husband would. I could see this from the country, but I never did that. And then she starts telling me about, like, they had some chickens and, like, She had a tough time getting in there sometimes because they had a rooster, and the rooster always tried to attack her when she went in there. And so I'm listening to the story, and then she's telling me about how, like, the first time she collected eggs, and she took them to the kitchen, and she was very excited to have, like, fresh eggs. I mean, like, you can't get any fresher, you know what I mean? Like, straight out the chicken. And she went to crack them, and she thought they were weird, that they looked weird, so she, like, threw them down the drain.
Uh-oh.
And as this was happening, her husband walks in, and he's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "We can't use any of these eggs. They're all bad." And he's like, "What do you mean they're all bad? The chickens just laid them. Like, they're as fresh as you can get them."
Yeah.
She's like, "No, look at them. They're orange." And he's like, "You idiot. They're orange because they're fresh."
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, she continued to say, "Well, I didn't know that because I grew up in the city." And I'm like, "God damn. Are you just not fucking..." Oh, God, she made me so mad. She made me so mad. And then she said something about this cow. Like, they bought some cow at, like, an auction or something. And, like, they bought it to slaughter it, right? And, like, freeze the meat. And
then did she name it and refuse to slaughter it?
No.
Okay.
But then she was talking about how they made it, and it was the best beef she'd ever tasted. And then she said... because it was grain-fed beef. And my immediate reaction was, "Are you a fucking moron?" And then I apologized. And I was like, and then, so I had to explain to her. She's like, no, grain-fed is better. It tastes better. I was like, "Woman, every piece of beef that you buy at a shitty store is grain-fed beef. They feed them corn. That's why it's grain-fed."
Yep.
She's like, no, they feed them, like, good grains. I was like, "What is a good grain?" I was like, "You're from the city. You don't even know what a farm looks like." So I tried to explain to her grass-fed beef, and she swore
did she
up
just,
and down.
Did she just love this meat because it's uber fresh? Is that the reason that she fell in love with it?
That's my assumption. That's my assumption.
Yeah. So what happened with this quote-unquote divorce with her ex?
I mean, my assumption is he realized she was an idiot. Because she hates fresh eggs and believes that grain-fed beef is delicious. That's my assumption.
I thought the divorce came when she hit him over the head with a shovel and then threw him in with a pig pen and let the pigs eat him. That's what I'm assuming. Because pigs will eat anything.
Oh my God, I'm going to buy this right now.
What?
What is happening? How much is left in this auction?
What are you doing?
Okay, 9 days.
What are you doing?
There's a CGC7 Avengers number 2 for $1 on eBay.
Brother.
I wonder, is this an auction too? Okay.
And is the shipping like $3,000?
Free shipping. It's free shipping, dude. No,
but usually that's what they do. Like, "Hey, this comic book, or well, this video game's $5. And then you're like, "Dang, that's a great price. Buy it now." Shipping,
$35. Yeah.
Like, oh, come on.
Yeah. No, I came upon this link on eBay that said Avengers CGC. And the first result is an Avengers number 8 CGC 4.5. For $7.50. That's the first appearance of Kang the Conqueror, which I own, but it's not a CGC copy. But for $7.50, I would just buy this, crack it open, and read it. Because I haven't read the copy that I have yet.
Why not?
Because I framed it and I put it on the wall.
Oh, I thought you would read it before framing.
No, I just wanted it because I love the cover.
So that means you should be picking up another Marvel Masterworks, Avengers.
But see, I paid, what did I pay for that? I think I paid 100 and, what did I pay, 120? Yeah, I think I paid 120 for it. No. The guy wanted 120. I paid like $80 for it.
Nice.
Cause apparently he had it for like 3 years. And I was talking to the guy. I bought it at the SC Comic Con. Not this last one, last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was looking and I found it. And he wanted, I think it was like $125. And I was like, "If you drop to 100, I'll buy it." He's like, "No, I can't do that, blah, 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 this, that, and the other." I was like, "All right, fine." So I left the booth. I came back later. I was like, "I'm still interested in that Avengers number 8. He's like, I don't know. I was like, look. So I explained to him why I wanted it, this, that, and the other. I was like, I'll give you $80 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you said $100 earlier. I was like, yeah, but it seems like you don't want to buy it, so I'm just trying to lowball. He's like, no. I was like, dude, you've probably had this book for years. I'll give you $80 cash right now. He's like, all right, fine.
Do you really want to? And then you're like, if I walk away, my offer when I come back will be $65.
$65. That would have been hilarious. Damn, if this was a buy it now, I would buy it.
What issue was that?
Avengers number 8.
Oh, so I should be picking up Avengers Masterworks number 1.
Yes.
So I can read that. But you can already read it because it's free for unlimited.
It is.
Yes.
It's very true.
Yes. Oh, you need to read some of this stuff. Oh, my God. It's so good.
I'll need to add it to my list. Let's see what my list is like now. Well, when did we record last? Last week, right?
Yeah.
And I had 330. Let's see what I have now. 419, Nick.
For what?
I have 419 unread comics.
Oh, shit. I don't even need to look at mine. Hold on. I have to whisper this. You know how many comics I have unread just digitally on Comixology?
1,000.
Yeah, I could only wish.
Oh, shit, really?
1,900.
Holy shit.
And that is not... I wish, God, if it was only that's how many issues I have to read, that is including in that 1,900 is so many omnibuses, trades, like, oh my God, like the Irredeemable one is like 40 issues, so it's not really 1,900. Like, those 40 issues are counted in the 1,900 for one. That's one thing in the 1,900.
Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. How's your Wildstorm reading going?
Oh, dude. Yeah? We hit such a groove. Right now, currently, I'm reading, what is it?
PhD. Wild.
Yeah, PhD. Stormwatch PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the concept. I love that they started off with the original PhD, and then by issue 3, they're like, hey, this is working out so well. We want you to start up another version in Vegas. And I'm like, are they just going to be jumping from city to city creating other, like, yeah, do it. But it's really, really good. But I don't know if that's because I'm loving the Doug Monkey art. I'm not sure.
That's good art.
Yeah, but Christos Gage is writing the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's one of those books. You know, you ask me all the time about continuity and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think PhD is definitely one of those things where you definitely get more out of it if you read all the previous stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the concept alone of the book, like, would not make sense if you didn't know what Stormwatch was.
But I'm a little bummed out. Because right around PhD is where they stop putting in little, like, asterisks. See, Wildcats, issue 12, for, like, more information, or, like, we're doing a flashback. But, like, if you want to read the actual story here, like, they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are points where it's like, dang it, I wish I knew where this person was from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first time we battled you, like... If I didn't read that because it wasn't part of like the Comixology digital sale when I bought it,
mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what issue that is, and I don't know how to get back to it.
Right, right, right.
And I'm sure I could find that out, granted. But still, I've always been that person that wants editor notes in it, in everything that I read. And I know it went out of favor, but I just love it. But it was so nice to go right from Midnighter, his first series, right into PhD. Because, man, that Midnighter, the Garth Ennis,
mm-hmm.
that thing just flew by. That was such a quick read. Oh, it was so good.
That's cool. I haven't been on Twitter much. I haven't been tweeting about it. And even though I have hundreds of books to read on Comixology, plus, you know, some additional physical stuff, I've decided to join you in this Wildstorm read through. I'm reading Wildcats right now.
The first series?
Yeah, the first series.
Did you finish up Sleeper? Because I know you wanted to go back and read Sleeper.
I have not done that, no.
Oh, so you have it, but you just went all the way back to Wildcats.
Correct.
Ooh, that's a good way to go.
Correct. So yeah. I did the first 20 issues.
Nice.
So I'll be starting off what I think is I don't know about a highlight of the series, but definitely cover-wise, some of the best covers of the series.
Ooh.
And that's when Alan Moore took over the book in 21.
Ooh. Is this with, what is it, Travis Shira?
Yeah. Yep.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Now, can I ask you, speaking of, I think, Wildcats, I know I forget who wrote it. I want to say Scott Lobdell, and I thought it was Travis Charay when they did that crossover. Wasn't it Wildcats X-Men? Because I know that was wasn't that a real, real hot thing?
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah. How have you gone and reread that now?
No, I haven't read this since it came out.
Okay, because I still love Travis's art. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
gosh.
It's freaking awesome.
Is he just a slow artist? Because it seems like he fades off of books pretty quickly.
I guess. Is he still doing comics?
I don't know. I'm only curious on the stuff that I'm reading now that's 30 years old, 20 years old.
Holy shit, Batman. He did Metabarons. I'm also reading Metabarons.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think we talked about that. Yeah, he's definitely not doing the Metabarons that I'm reading right now, but that's interesting.
Okay.
What's the last thing he did? 2008? Yikes, that's a long time ago.
Didn't he do some Jeff Lemire book?
Did he now?
Was it Animal Man? I want to say Animal Man.
Well, it looks like he hasn't done comics in 7 or 8 years at least. Let's see.
Oh, no, this was like right when, what was it, New 52 Animal Man? I thought he did the first two arcs with Lemire.
I'm going through his work.
But when it was announced, I could swear that I was like, oh, my God, Jeff Lemire and Travis Shirey. And I got so pumped for it. And they both were like, nope, we're going to be on this book, you know, pretty much forever and ever.
Mm.
And then after like 8 issues, he was like, I'm out. Peace.
Interesting. I can't find that on here. Let's do Comic Book DB. I bet they would have it. You said Animal Man, eh?
I could swear that it was Animal Man.
No, that's not listed on here.
Oh, I'm thinking Travel Foreman. Sorry.
Yeah, Travel Foreman's great.
Yeah.
Well, dang. I guess he hasn't done comics in about 10 years.
He's probably doing Hollywood storyboarding.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. Did you hear about the Superman animated series?
I saw a couple concept images.
I think that shit looked awesome. You know who it is, right? The guy that's doing Young Justice for DC, the animated show. That guy apparently pitched Warner Brothers this Superman family animated series.
Oh.
They would have, Lois would be in it, and John Kent.
Nice.
And Damian Wayne would be in it.
I like it.
Steel, New Superman. It's like a whole group.
Sounds great.
Warner Brothers said, maybe later.
Ugh. So how is it going back to Wildcats?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I can't wait to read 21, because I remember when I was like, wait. Alan Moore's writing this now? Because you gotta remember, this is before the internet, kids.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get previews 3 months in advance. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I still want to read. Didn't he do Supreme?
Oh, God, yeah, that shit was ridiculous.
Yeah, I still want to read that.
Yeah, that shit was ridiculous. Because I remember reading Supreme, and I loved all the Image books, right? And I remember picking up Supreme, but it was very like Rob Liefeld-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Rob Liefeld does Superman.
Yeah.
But then when Alan Moore took over Supreme, it was like a total game changer. Like it was super serious. He brought in like this whole Supreme family, which like I think Lady Supreme had shown up before, but he kind of turned it into like Shazam. So there was this like magical realm that they would go into, and like all the Supremes would convene. So there was like Lady Supreme, like Supreme Junior, like, you know, it was just like Shazam.
Did it go in like a Miracle Man?
Yeah, because aspect. I guess that makes more sense as an analogy because it was more serious than Shazam ever was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome, dude.
So where did this happen in the Alan Moore timeline? Like, what do you recall? What he was coming off of, or what he was going on to after that?
I don't. But let's look this up.
Because I'm curious where it fell with him and America's Best Comics when he took that whole thing over.
Let's see. Supreme. And we have Alan Moore Supreme beginning with issue 41. Well, okay, Comixology, you're terrible. All right, let's go to my comic shop.
Yeah, you don't go. Come, I could have corrected your behavior there.
Well,
you don't ever go to Comixology for like, oh, I'm going to type in this creator and get a chronological, like his creative chronologically. No.
Well, yes, but I was there. Look, I was okay. There.
Even Wikipedia is better than that.
Yes, I know. All right, issue 41. Here we go. 41 was September of 1996.
Okay.
So now we need to look up, come on, All-Star. Not All-Star, All-American.
When was that? 86?
96.
96. Okay.
Anyways, as we're doing this, so we don't have dead air, I can multitask. So he...
Well, just to let you know, that was 96 and America's Best Comics was 99.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense. So
crazy.
Did he do it? No.
I just love, like, I love to see his progression. You know what it looks like he did before that?
Mm.
From Hell.
Oh.
Isn't that freaking insane that he go from killing, okay, Watchmen in 88, 89, Killing Joke,
mm-hmm.
95, 96. So he took a little bit of time and did From Hell, which was pretty, you know, pretty big.
Also, a major motion picture.
Yeah, but I mean, it was thick, so I can see how it would take him a few years to write that and research it.
Sure.
And then 97 is Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2000 is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Promethea, Tom Strong, Tomorrow's Stories, Top 10. I mean, Jesus H. He only took a 3-year gap to write all of those titles. Jiminy Christmas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is just, Jesus, he is the man.
You know what? I might need to go back and do this Alan Moore Supreme because I think I got confused and I just figured out why.
Uh-oh.
So I think the run that I'm thinking of is Supreme Blue Rose, which came out in 2014, and that is Warren Ellis.
Oh, that would be good too. How did Supreme have all these great writers?
Supreme Blue Rose, Warren Ellis with art by Tula Lotte.
Dang!
Mm-hmm.
I like Tula.
And from, I don't know if this is still going on, but either late last year or earlier this year, they were saying that they're going to be doing another Supreme Blue Rose.
Really?
Yeah, with the same creative team.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
I got to check this out.
Yeah, Supreme Blue Rose is fucking crazy.
That is. Is it based on the same character or no?
Yep.
Why is it called Blue Rose?
Well, you have to read it to find out.
Aw, dude.
And you don't need to read previous Supreme for this.
How is none of this stuff out digitally?
Oh, are you serious? Is it not?
I don't think the Alan Moore Supreme is, or it's never been offered on sale. But man, the Alex Ross covers for all those Supremes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, mamma mia.
Well, dang, you're right. It's not on there.
But I need to look up this Blue Rose. What is this? I don't think I've ever even heard of that.
Oh, here it is, Supreme. And Blue Rose is also in Comixology.
2015?
Yeah.
Shazam.
Dude, and it is fucking crazy.
Well, I like that. You know those two. I'm there.
Okay, so you can't get the Alan Moore Supreme. Only the first 6 issues.
What the hell?
Wait, no, that's not the first 6 issues. What the hell is this? Image! fix it. You can only get issue 63 through 68.
What? Mm-hmm. 5 issues?
Yeah, that's the Eric Larson run.
What?
Yep.
Oh, terrible.
Yep.
But, sometimes digital fails me.
But you can get Supreme Blue Rose, the entire miniseries.
Really?
Yes.
On Comixology?
On Comixology. It's $11.99 for the trade and then $1.99 per issue.
Dang.
Yep. 7 issues.
Can I pick up Supreme Power since I'm looking for Supreme?
Sure, if you want.
By Straczynski and Gary Frank, because you know I love me some Gary Frank.
I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want some crazy shit, though, Supreme Blue Rose.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's fucking trippy, dude. It is really trippy. Really? I remember I picked this up and I was like, this is not a Supreme book. It took me like 4 issues to figure out what the hell was happening.
Did you throw it into the garbage or were you like, but it's Warren Ellis. I gotta read this.
No, I did not, because Tula Lotay's art is fucking gorgeous.
There you go.
And I know that Warren Ellis does some crazy shit, so I'm good regardless.
You're in.
Yeah.
All right. I can't even find it.
Are you serious? Yeah, here. I'll,
No, I'll get there.
Yeah, you'll get there because I just sent the link. Bam!
I'm hypnotized because, you know, I just stumbled on Planetary, so it's hard to get off Planetary.
Oh, but we've read that.
God, I love Warren Ellis. Ooh, there it is. Dang it.
Yeah.
How did I not know? How is this not part? Oh, we just had an image sale, too. I could have bought it then. Damn it. That's awesome, dude. This doesn't even look like Wildstorm.
Mm.
It doesn't even look like it's part of that universe.
It's not. It's not. Supreme was Liefeld.
Oh, Liefeld. Sorry.
Yep.
Good God. That's some trippy ass art.
Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
Dang. Dang it. Now you have me buying stuff. Damn you. Yeah, that looks good. Fucking Warren. Did he actually finish it? Or is this another Warren?
Yeah, seven issues. Finished? No, okay. It's a mini. Always a mini.
Hey, I'll be surprised when he finishes the Wildstorm.
Yeah, there's not many issues left.
I'm not going to believe it until the last issue comes out. Not going to believe it.
Oh, man.
Did you ever read his Thor run?
No. I didn't even know he did a Thor run.
Yeah, he was in Thor.
Really? Mm-hmm. Not good?
No, I haven't read it. That's why I was curious.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dream War. No, is this on your reading list?
What?
DC Wildstorm Dream War?
Dream War?
Yeah.
No. What?
Yeah, it's the crossover after DC bought Jim Lee.
No.
Oh.
I don't know what you speak of.
Oh. DC Wildstorm Dream War.
Why is that not in my in our chat? What the hell?
It's Keith Giffen and Lee Garbett.
Well, I like both of them.
See? You're welcome.
Dream War.
Yeah, Dream War.
What the fuck? 6 issues? They all look so good. Those covers are really good.
Well, it's Lee Garbett, dude. He's fucking amazing.
God damn it.
Uh-huh.
Is this sort of how they introduced Wildstorm into DC?
I guess.
Oh my God, I'm going to be dreaming about this. Are you kidding me? Do I have to read it all in order, or can I just go right to this and start reading? Oh my God, this looks so good.
I don't know. I've never read this. I'll read it with you. You want to read it? I'll buy it for you, and then we'll read it together.
Oh my God, that looks so good, Martin.
Yeah, that art's awesome.
It looks like Frank Quietly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the faces are a little bit too big and wide. Oh, man. How am I going to read the rest? How am I going to read the rest? Why? I just want to read this now. I mean, you know I want to read everything continuity-wise, but I might just want to jump to this one.
I wonder who's got the art for number 4. I like this.
I like that cover.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Dustin Nguyen? Nguyen?
When?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Why can we not buy those covers or some of this art? Oh, the faces are so Frank Quietly. Holy guacamole. Hey, there's the doctor right there. The Garden of Ancestral Memory.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not a series. Jesus Christ. Dude, you sent me down such a rabbit hole. Oh my God. I love it. What's this number of the beast? What am I doing? What's going on?
See? Welcome to Martin Makes Nick Buy Shit.
Son of a bitch. Another 8-issue miniseries. Scott Beatty and Chris Prowse. You know I love Chris Prowse. Introduces the Palladium. Have you ever read this?
What is it?
Number of the Beast, 2008. Introduced the Palladians. Last seen in the final moments of World War II, the U.S. Army's plans for these superhumans have been hidden from public scrutiny deep in the Nevada desert. This secret from Wildstorm's troubled past unlocks a nightmarish tomorrow. The hell?
Hold on, I'm getting there.
I mean, Midnighter's right on the cover. God damn it.
Scott Beatty and Chris Prowse, is that the
this
one?
This looks great. What the hell? Cover by even... What? What's going on? Look at... when you get there, look at cover 5. Holy Christ. There's a Hawk Woman that looks so World War II, but it looks like a Hawk Woman. Oh my God. Yes, please. I might have to get all this. This all must be in my eyeballs. Oh my God, look at cover 4. Martin, go.
Cover 4.
There's like a crazy looking, crazy ass white knight with a kick ass sword and riding a white horse.
With
this like gigantic red cross on both of them.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever read this?
No.
What the hell? How do we not? Oh my God. Why are we recording tonight?
This is shit after DC bought them. I didn't read most of that stuff.
Why haven't we? What's wrong with us?
Is there like, all right, we need a reading order, I think.
Yes.
Right?
Did they just make all this stuff up? Why have I never seen any of this?
Wildstorm reading order.
And then here's the Authority Revolution. Never seen those. Thought I was done with Authority. Nope. What the fuck? God damn it. And it's written by Ed Brubaker. Why wouldn't I want that?
Oh, interesting. I just found a chronology.
Of course you
Man, did. This You're is too complicated, perfect. Though. Why would you do this? Who reads like this? Nobody reads like this. All right, here, I'll give you an example.
Is it actual reading order? So it's like jumping from different issues back and forth, back and forth?
Yes.
I love that reading order. That's the kind I prefer.
So here you go. Stormwatch, Volume 1, Issues 1 through 3. Wildcats, Volume 1, Issue 1, Page 1 through 6.
Wow, that's so granular. Awesome. Okay.
Wildcats, Volume 1, Issue 0. Wildcats, Volume 1, Issue 1, Pages 7 through 23. Wildcats, Volume 1, Number 2, then 3 and 4. Wildcats Special, Wetworks 1 through 3. Wildcats Volume 1, Issue 2, Backup Story, Union 0 through 4, Wildcats Trilogy 1, Jesus Christ.
Hey, could you copy that URL and tweet it to Rob Krieger, rhymes with Seeker? Because I think his head would melt if he read that. Now jump over to this one title and only read page 4, and then jump out of that title into a completely different title. Oh my God. My head's exploded.
Oh, dang. I don't think I could read like this.
How is The Authority the Lost Year?
It's fine.
Okay. Because I read the Gene Ha arc, the first 4 issues.
Yep.
That was really good, but I just didn't know if I should continue on.
That 2-page spread, original art that I bought,
mm-hmm.
is from that book.
Ooh, you son of a bitch.
Matter of fact, I should look this up right now so I can see what it looks like in print.
Yeah, why not?
God, what issue was it?
I mean, some of this Lost Year is by Grant Morrison, too.
Yeah.
God, there's so... Oh, why were we not doing this podcast when DC originally bought them? Why? God, there's so much good stuff.
Listen, I don't want to hear it because I've wanted to do a Wildstorm podcast for years.
Jeez, you could be edumacating me like crazy, some of this stuff. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Jiminy Christmas. How, I just don't understand how DC just sort of locked him up into a vault and just like, eh, we don't need you guys anymore. And they even gave Grifter his own series, and then all of a sudden what, he could smell or sense or see the Demonites?
Mm-hmm.
Where before in Wildstorm, he had no clue.
Well, that was, but I love, that was part of Voodoo's power.
But see, I love that. I love that he has that those senses now. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. But it just went nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh,
DC. Mm-hmm. DC, shame on you. And now they're not even doing anything with it.
This is so good. And you know the big issue? Even with DC sales on Comixology, what's the chance of an Ed Brubaker authority going on sale as part of their sale?
That'd be awesome.
It would be almost not. I might as well play the lottery. That's sort of what I would expect.
Mm-hmm. So Wildstorm is almost done. 3 more issues.
Dang, look at you. Love it. Mm-hmm. I think I've read, how many trades are out? 2?
3?
Okay, I haven't got the third one yet. And I'm thoroughly engaged.
Yeah, 3. Volume 3 came out last month.
And it really is, and I hate to say it, I don't know how you are. Okay, because you buy Batman floppies and then you'll buy the trades as well?
No, I buy digital and floppies.
And no trades?
No trades.
Okay, then it doesn't apply. Is there a comic book, because this is the Wildstorm for me, where when, actually, no, it could apply to your floppy, the way you purchase. Do you have a title that you read, and whenever a new issue comes out, you go back and read either the previous issue or the previous arc? Not because you forget, like I'm that way with Wildstorm. Like when volume 3, when I buy volume 3, I'll go back and read volume 1 and 2. Not because I forgot stuff, just because I love the entire flow of it.
Yeah, I think Wildstorm might be the only one I've done that with. I'm trying to think, like current stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Wildstorm's that way. Wildstorm's current.
Well, I don't know if you meant like if I've ever done that or like just right now.
Yeah, present. Like when you're reading like Court of Owls, would you go back and read the first issue to get up to part 4?
Funny you say that, because I got, I'm such an idiot, the Snyder run I have on Comixology,
mm-hmm.
in print, and sure. and in trade.
Oh, of course.
All the way up to Bat Bunny.
Wow. Now, did you buy the Absolute?
I did not buy the Absolute.
Did you buy the Noir version?
I did not buy the Noir.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yep.
Now, did you read all that again every time you buy it?
Usually when I reread it, I'll reread it in trade.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Unless like, well, I mean, it's been like wintertime and stuff, but during the summer, I like to sit out on the back porch and read a lot. Mm-hmm. So when I do that, I usually take out like actual comics and just sit back.
Sure, there. Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get that way if I'm getting like an itch for like, oh, I want to read like Dan Slott Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read his entire run.
Mm.
Even though I only want to read like one little bit of it, all of a sudden it'll just be like, ah, let's read the entire run. Like I'm that way with Planetary too.
Mm, yes.
So maybe it's just Warren Ellis that does that too.
It is Warren Ellis.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is.
He should get a C2E2 so we can kidnap him.
I don't see that happening.
Oh, I do.
I think he is San Diego and that's it.
Yeah.
Which I can respect that.
I guess.
I really want these two miniseries that you just shared with me. That Number of the Beast and the other one.
Dream War.
Yeah. All now, right. Where would these come in? Like, in my reading order, I haven't got up to where DC buys them.
Let's look up the chronology here.
Oh, God. I don't want to hear. I can only read issue 5, page 3.
Let's see here.
I'm guessing with the Wildstorm stuff, I have to read these two mini-series before New 52.
I mean, maybe.
You know, the, like, I think there's a Grifter and a Voodoo series.
Mm.
I'm sure I have to read it before that.
I'm trying to see.
I can't believe these. These look so good, dude.
This Dream War is not in the chronology.
Oh, it's outside.
But there is a section dubbed The Events Leading to the Number of the Beast.
Really?
Yep. That is Wildstorm Revelations 1 through 3, Grifter Midnighter 1 through 6, Wetworks 10 to 12, Midnighter 10 to 15. Yeah. New Dynamics. What is that? Never heard of it.
What is Grifter Midnighter?
Grifter versus Midnighter.
No, Grifter and Midnighter. Chuck Dixon and Ryan Benjamin.
Yep. 6 issues?
Yeah.
Yep. That's on this list.
Is that any good?
Never read it.
Never read it? What? You missed your Wildstorm.
I'm telling you.
Get these in quarter boxes?
Once DC bought them, I didn't read a lot of that stuff.
How can I go to you? I have questions. You have answers. What about Team Zero? You never even told me about Team Zero.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God. Doug Mankey. Chuck Dixon. Why would you be holding out? Why wouldn't you tell me about this?
I'm still trying to figure out why Dream War is not on this chronology list.
Maybe because it's against, what is it? It's against DC villains or superheroes?
No, because it's got the whole thing. Matter of fact, there's a section here, Events Leading to Armageddon, and the first issue on the reading list is Action Comics 811. But I don't see Dream War. Sleeper's on that.
Man, here's some Wildcats. Jesus, what the hell?
A Man Called Kev. Don't know what that is either.
Yeah, isn't that Garth Ennis?
I don't know.
I could swear that they have like 2 miniseries,
really?
I want to say. Wildcat. How did you not tell me about this? Christos Gage and Pete Woods. You know I like Christos Gage. But boy, these covers. Oofa loofa.
Mm.
It says spinning out of Armageddon.
I'm gonna assume this Dream War is after Armageddon.
God, some of these look terrible, dude. Sometimes I might have to pump my brakes on some of this stuff.
Yeah?
Some of this looks terrible. That is some digital coloring that does not get the thumbs up. Oofa.
Oh, Lord. Happens sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. Good God, there's a lot of Christos Gage. Man, he wrote a lot of Wildstorm, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just going to go with those crossovers, those 2 crossovers. Some of this stuff looks a little sketch to me.
So I need to do more research, but it looks like Dream War might be self-contained, whereas Number of the Beast, you might need more backup stuff.
Come on. Well, when are you going to do this research? When can I pull the trigger?
I mean, I can do it tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were totally busy at work.
Yeah, but I'll have time like late afternoon.
You don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm. If I can't do it tomorrow, I'll do it Tuesday. I'll definitely do it before we record next time.
Okay. So you didn't read any of this authority when DC bought them out, 2008 to 2010.
No, I read that after.
Because some of this looks sketchy. Wow. But I do like Abnett and Lanning. Dang it. Oh, you suck.
Mm-hmm. You know, God, you know Abnett's doing a Valiant book.
Oh, yeah. How is it?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's real good.
Is it real sci-fi-y?
Yeah, it's in the future.
All right.
In the year 4002.
Any character I know?
Yeah, Rye's in it.
Oh, nice.
And Bloodshot.
Who's doing the artwork?
Oh, hell, I don't know. Joe Schmo. Peter Tomasi, no.
Oh. And is it all digital artwork?
It is not.
Oh, that's good.
It is not like Rye.
I might actually get into it then.
Damn it. Let's look this up right now. I can't find my preview copy. So I will just look it up and tell you.
Oh.
Tomas Giarello.
Oh, okay. The guy who did...
is that right? Oh, no.
Exo Manowar?
Wait. Hang on. That's... God damn it. Yes.
That could be good.
Fallen World. Here we go. Got it. Adam Polina. That's what's doing the art.
Oh, okay.
He's done Valiant stuff before. It's very good. It's very good. Tomas Giarello's doing the art for Psylords.
Ooh, that would be good.
That's also very good.
Yeah, that'd be real good.
And Fred Van Lente is writing it.
Oh, I like some Fred Van Lente.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff, good stuff. Ooh, this David Mack cover. Yikes, that's good.
Can't believe this rabbit hole you sent me down, damn it.
Ah, you'll be okay.
There's just so much I want to read, but by looking over some of this post-DC stuff, there might be some stuff I don't need to read.
I'm pretty sure there's plenty of stuff
you
don't need to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those two crossovers, those look good. Those look good to me.
Chuck Dixon and Doug Mankey. What a team.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, Nick, let's wrap this up.
You bought enough for the night?
I need to buy some more, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Down the rabbit hole.
You have been listening to the subtle, lustful sounds of Nick Wetmore. This episode of Nerdy Legion, sponsored by Adam and Eve. Do you need to get your dick hard? Adam and Eve! That'd be awesome if we had an Adam and Eve sponsorship.
Heck yeah.
Anyways.
Lube it up.
Lube it up. Lube it up. Boop, 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 lube it up. What are we doing right now? Oh, we're recording a show and we're doing an outro. Thank you for listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. You can find Nick on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, because that is his name. You can find me at Geekvine. That is not my name. But that's where you can find me. And the show is at Nerdy Legion. That's it. See you next time. Go buy some comics.